Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayera. This week, Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy discusses Vayera. Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Admissions. And now, Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha Vayera is a particularly packed Parsha. It opens with Avraham hosting the angels, the news about Yitzchak's birth to Sarah, God's consultation with Avraham about the destruction of Sodom, and Avraham's bold, risky, attempted intervention on their behalf. All of that's just the first two aliyot. The exile of Hagar and Yishmael and the Akedah of the binding of Isaac are just a few of the highlights, actually, in the rest of the Parsha. So it was very hard for me to select what to talk about. You'll forgive me for focusing on just a few key, powerful verses in the Parsha and the way they reflect on the larger message, or I hope they reflect on the larger message of the Parsha. The verses are chapter 18, verses 17 and forward. When God is, as the angels have departed, and God is getting ready to look at Avraham, consider destroying Sodom. He says, "Vahashem amar hamechasani mi Avraham asher ani osa, vaAvraham hayo yieh legoy gadol vaatzum v'nivrachu bo kol goyei haaretz ki yedativ laman asher yitzaveh et banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat." Leman hevi Adon Hashem al Avraham et asher diber alav. Reading from the JPS translation. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham is to become a great and populous nation, and all the nations of the earth are to bless themselves by him. For I have singled him out, that he may instruct his children and his posterity to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is just and right, in order that the Lord may bring about for Avraham what he has promised him. I find these verses interesting, partially because last week, the Parsha opens with the dramatic command, Lech lecha mi'artzecha, mi'moladecha mi'beit avicha ela eretz asher areka, that God instructs Abraham, seemingly out of the middle of nowhere, out of thin air, go forth from your native land and your father's house and the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And it doesn't seem to give us an indication of what Abraham has done to merit this kind of being singled out. And in fact, all the commentaries and the Midrash focus on this question, are trying to figure out, why was he indeed chosen? Was it because he smashed the idols? Was it because he had deep spirituality? Surely there was something that Abraham did which merited his being singled out. And what's funny is that this week's Parsha opens more or less with filling in that blank for us. Ki yidativ. I have singled him out. No, the yidativ is a difficult word. I've known him. God knows everyone. It seems to have, Rashi suggests that it's almost a special relationship, almost a knowing in the, he doesn't say knowing in the biblical sense of the word. But certainly that Abraham is not God's average acquaintance. There is a special and intense relationship between Abraham and God. Ki yedativ. And then he tells us why. Because he is going to command his children and his household after him to go in the, to walk in the way of God, by doing what is just and right in order that the Lord may bring about for Abraham what he's promised him. The reason why Abraham has been chosen is because he follows God's ways, Derech Hashem. And then it tells us, what are God's ways? La'asot tzedaka u'mishpat, to do justice and righteousness. The words staka and mishpat are not so easy. Justice and righteousness. This word staka, Rambam even connects it directly with the giving of staka, giving of charity. Perhaps it means pursuing justice in the world. We could spend a lot of time thinking about what is the exact content of staka umishpat. But we know that it is worldly actions that are the way of God. And that the worldly actions, the relationship that Abraham has with the world around him is what makes his relationship with God possible. Ki yedativ, God loves Abraham or has a special relationship with him because he does staka umishpat, which is God's ways. And it is surely not coincidental that this statement comes just after Abraham's very impressive performance of the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. And that this performance of Hachnasat Orchim, of welcoming the guests, seems to be an opening for a special relationship with God. The relationship, what creates the relationship between God and Abraham, this vertical relationship between God and Abraham, is the existence, the prerequisite of a vertical relationship that Abraham has with the world around him. Towards the end of the Parsha, the commentators and the Midrash find this same intimate connection between Abraham's human relationship, his relationships between humans and his connection to the divine. Point to that again in verse 21:34. There, right after Abraham has made a brit with Avimelech, it says, "Vayita eshel bever sheva, vayikra sham b'shem Adonai el elyon el olam." Abraham planted a tamarisk at Beersheva and invoked there the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. A tamarisk tree is a tall, shady tree that grows deep roots, requires little water, and is particularly suitable to the sandy soils of the Negev. But there's something sort of puzzling about, there's two things that are puzzling about the verse. The one is, why is he planting this? Why is the Torah telling us that he's planting this tree and why at this juncture? And what is the connection between the planting of the tree at this seemingly random moment and the Vayikra Sham b'shem Hashem, the calling out in the name of God? The Behor Shor, the Radak, and the Radak, both of them suggest that perhaps the tamarisk tree is designed to formalize this pact that Avraham's just made with Avimelech. But the Rashbam suggests that it's somehow cultic, that the tree has some sort of ritual purpose, some sort of serves as a kind of focal point for religion. Rashi and the Midrash suggest a different path, which has made its way into the modern Hebrew. Vayita Eshel. Eshel in modern Hebrew is an acronym in the Midrash, and this has made its way into modern Hebrew. An acronym for Achila, Shtia, Livaya, or Lina. Okay. For eating, Achila, Shtia, drinking, and the Lamed is Livaya or Lina, lodging and accompaniment. So, in modern Hebrew, that's what you get from your workplace when you travel for work, and they pay for your expenses in food and drink, living and sleeping. But in the Bible, or in the Torah here, or in the Midrash as it's understood, Vayita Eshel means that Abraham built a guest house for passersby, so that he could continue the work with which he opened the Parsha of Hachnasat Orchim, of welcoming the guests. And he built there an inn which was designed to welcome in all sorts of passersby and expand his work of welcoming the guests. What does that have to do with Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem, with the calling out in the name of God? Well, at some level, that's just about the way the horizontal the horizontal relationship between Abraham and his guests can facilitate a vertical relationship between Abraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the divine. But suggests Rashi that it actually also facilitates a relationship between the guests and God, because Rashi says that after they would eat, after he would feed them, he would invite them to bless he who gave them the food. Abraham would say, what do you think? I gave you the food? Everything belongs to God. Bless God. And from this, he was able to show people the light, invite people into the world of Torah. So again, we see that this the horizontal relationship of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, man-to-man relationships, human-to-human relationships, facilitates Ben Adam Lemakom, a relationship between humans and God. And I could just be content to stop there. But I think actually it would be an injustice to the verse about what Abraham's mission is. We concluded that justice in this world is Derech Hashem, and it empowers us to have a relationship with God as well as with our neighbors. But the verse actually says, Ki yedativ leman asher yitzave et banav ve'et beito acharav lishmor derech Hashem. I know him. I have singled him out in order that he will command his children and his house afterwards to do justice and righteousness. It's not just about Abraham being righteous, though he surely was very righteous. It's he's chosen to spread the word, to convince others that they also have to do walk in the way of God by doing justice and righteousness. And indeed, this is completely essential if we want to actually make the world a better place. A little bit of chesed in our private realm is always a great way to begin. But if we don't get others to go beyond us, the world cannot be redeemed. As we saw a few weeks ago when Noah himself was identified as a tzaddik, as righteous, and that was enough to get him saved, but it wasn't enough to save the world around him. Everything around him was destroyed. If you want to change the world, then you need the mission that Abraham has. Abraham's mission is not just to follow in God's ways, but also to get others to follow suit. For me, as a Pardes teacher, this poses a sort of particular challenge, because Pardes is a place that embraces personal autonomy and openness and non-judgmentalness, where people are invited to come and study Torah at Pardes without us making any claim on them in terms of the way they should behave, and without us having any goal to try to convince students that they should keep Torah and mitzvot in the way that, let's say, I choose to keep Torah and mitzvot. And so for us, where on the one hand, I understand that Abraham's mission is that he is to command his children and his house after him to behave in a certain way, I teach in a place which is not designed to command other people about what they should do. And so I was especially interested in the way Abraham performs this mitzvah. How does he fulfill this mission? Asher yitzaveh et banav ve'et beito acharav. How does he command those people? In order to answer that question, I'd like to refer to Rav Soloveitchik in Nefesh HaOrav. He poses a similar problem based on the first Rashi in our Parsha, and I'd like to look at that Rashi and see if it doesn't propose a solution to our question as well. Our Parsha opens up with Vayera Alav Hashem Ba'alone Mamre V'hu Yoshev Petach HaOhel Kachom Hayom. The Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the terebinths of Mamre, and he was sitting at the entrance of the tent as the day grew hot. Okay, hu yoshev. And Rashi points out that it's yoshev, it's pronounced yoshev, but it's written yud shin vav, yashav. He sat, not he will sit. And to that, Rashi explains that irregularity as follows. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shev va'ani amud. When God appears to Avraham, Avraham immediately tries to rise and to stand before God. And God says to him, sit. I'll do the standing. And that, va'ata siman levanecha. This will be a sign to your children. She'atid ani lichatzev be'edata dayanim vehen yoshvim. Because in the future, I am going to stand beside the judges and they will sit. She'ne'emar Elohim nitzav be'edat el. That God stands together in the council of the judges. Judges need to sit. That reflects their honor and their need to concentrate. And God stands by their side to honor them and to support them in their holy work. Again, the earthly relationship, the fact that the judges are doing justice in the world, the fact that they are doing mishpat in their world, facilitates a relationship, bein adam lemakom, the vertical relationship. God comes and stands by them, by their side. A beautiful Rashi. However, Rav Soloveitchik has an interesting question. Where is the judgment? Avraham is sitting and seeking guests. He doesn't actually seem to utter a judgmental word to anyone or about anyone. And Rav Soloveitchik proposes an answer to this question that I think can apply to our question about commanding as well. Says Rav Soloveitchik, by serving as an outstanding example to those around him of what a just society can be, Avraham effectively indicts Sdom v'Amora without ever saying a word. Avraham isn't judging anyone explicitly at all. He's just doing what he needs to do, hachnasat orchim, welcoming the guests, pursuing the path of righteousness and justice. And in some ways, this serves as an indictment against Sdom v'Amora. And Rav Soloveitchik expands. He says that Rashi points out that there are three angels who come to visit Avraham. Echad levaser et Sarah, ve'echad lafoch et Sdom, ve'echad lirpot et Avraham. She'en malach echad oseh shtei shlichot. One of the angel's job is to tell Sarah about the good news about the birth of Isaac. The other is to heal Abraham. And the third angel, Gavriel, his mission is to overturn Sdom, because each angel has to have its own specific mission, and they can't they don't multitask. Angels do not multitask. They stick with their mission. So obviously, Michael and Raphael, they need to visit Avraham on their way to Sdom. Each of them have a mission that's closely related to Abraham. They have to give the message to Sarah, and they have to heal Avraham. But why does the angel Gavriel, whose mission is to destroy Sdom, need to visit Avraham at all? Suggests Rav Soloveitchik. And I think that this is almost implicit in the pshat of the text, in the simple reading of the text, in any literary reading of the text, is that the juxtaposition of the two stories, the visit, the Avraham's incredible hospitality, serves as a painful contrast to the hostility of the same angels that the same angels met in Sdom. So, of course, you can do a careful word by word compare and contrast to the way Abraham treats the angels, the way Lot treats the angels, and the way the people of Sdom treat the angels. and have a full sense of just how wicked Sodom is. And in this way, the text is offering Avraham up as an example of what is possible, of demonstrating just how badly Sodom has missed the mark. And this serves as an indictment for the people of Sodom. Sodom should have learned from Avraham's example about how the way to behave really is. And because they refused, because they ignored him, they are guilty. And I think that it might be this way also with the commandment, Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh et banav et beito acharav. What does it mean that Abraham commanded his house, his children and his house afterwards to go in the ways of God and do justice and righteousness? It's not that Abraham, necessarily, actively judged or actively told other people what to do, but by demonstrating how to act through his personal example, he is able to, he's able to teach the people what to do. His example serves for all of us as a commandment, as an imperative for us to try to do the same in order to act. And in that sense, perhaps we don't need to tell anybody what they should do, but hopefully by seeing good examples, those examples will themselves be inspiring. So Avraham is certainly most clearly worthy of a very special relationship with God, and not just because he manages to go in the way of God, which is justice and righteousness, but because he manages to teach us as his children, as members of his household, to do the same miraculously without ever a nasty or judgmental word. I wish it upon us as parents, and as friends, that we should be able to, co-workers, to be able to do those same things. So to summarize, we began by seeing that this week's Parsha tells us what last week's Parsha left to our imagination. Why has Abraham been chosen? Abraham was chosen because he has excels at walking in the way of God, and the way of God is justice and righteousness. His relationships on earth facilitate his relationship with the divine. And this is stated explicitly, but it's also implicit in the way Avraham's revelation is tied up with his welcoming of the guests. And it was also seen again in the way Avraham planted an eshel, planted a tree, built an inn, which led to a closer relationship with God. And it's also implicit in the way, or explicit actually, in the way that God stands beside the judges. Judges who do justice, merit also having a relationship with the divine. But being just isn't enough. Abraham also had to convince others to follow him in his path. And that he did in the same way that he judged, by setting a good example, which, given the right circumstances, others would naturally want to follow. I'd like to close with something my friend and colleague, Rabbi Yedidiah Sinclair, told me in the name of Sir John Houghton, who is a Nobel-winning environmentalist. When he asked him how he would answer those who cite their puny insignificance as reason not to take action on climate change, first, he quoted Edmund Burke, the British Enlightenment thinker, who declared, "No man ever made a greater error than he who did nothing because he could only do a little." Then, after a moment's reflection, he added, "But I think there's a deeper answer than Burke's. You know, I live overlooking the estuary of the River Dovey. Once a year, the sky above my house becomes a staging post for migrating starling. They create the most spectacular formations, tens of thousands of them, banking, wheeling, whirling, swirling around a vortex, and separating and regathering while replicating the same order. I don't think anyone really understands how they do it. certainly not the starlings themselves. Yet out of the actions of all of those many individual birds come coherent and beautiful patterns of organization. We're like that too, though mostly we don't realize it. We view our acts and choices as individuals as if we lived in a vacuum. We don't understand how we are participating in much larger social organisms. May we as a nation succeed in living up to our mission to follow the way of God in justice and righteousness. And may our work for justice serve as the foundation for a deep relationship with God. And finally, may we merit to bring light to the world through our actions. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Dr. Hamer Kasoy. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.